think about little as much when God is in it. We're living in a time that's so difficult, isn't it? Nobody recognizes the fact that what it means to lose everything you got. You know, it's so pitiful to watch the television. And people that are out in Houston and Louisiana. It's a great tragedy. But you know, God's in it. God didn't send the storm. But he gave people, millions of people across our land to pull together, making life a little different for them. Unselfish people. Now we have people today who will say, well, I got to take care of my own. And that's true. But when we take what little we have, God is in it. This month is J.D. Chapman's offering. You have an envelope. And Miss Linda's going to show a video on Wednesday night, 13th. And I want to tell you this morning, because I want to tie this in. So many times we think, well, men think it's a women's job. No, it's not. It's all of our job. We're to teach our children, our little children and our teenagers to put an offering in this. You know what that does? That teaches them that you believe and you support missions throughout the world. There's two things that made our nation great. First of all, our treatment of the Jews and our worldwide mission. God blesses us more. That's the reason we're the greatest nation on the earth. Because you know what? Of our giving and helping others. There's one part we slacked up. And that is in our local churches, being faithful to God. Now folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't mean this to be sarcastic or degrading in any way. Our black churches are running over. You go to most of the churches, they slam full. Now, I got to tell you, I know, they don't stay at church all day. They have service, then they go eat, and they go back, and they have government agents come in and tell what they can get free. I know that. That's true. But they flock to the churches. White people today are falling away. It's not important. And folks, I'm telling you, they're growing in strength while we're decreasing. We wonder how many times in previous administration the Christian faith, the judicial Christian faith, had to take a back seat. You know why? We took the back seat. We got one now where you agree with him, and I don't agree with everything. There's one thing about it. He puts God first. Dr. Jeffries, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, if he didn't, let me tell you something, Dr. Jeffries wouldn't be there. Dr. Jeffries said last night that when they gather in the Oval Office, there's never a time that he doesn't want them to pray for him. A praying nation will stay together, folks. No wonder we got so much cold and different. You know why? Anytime we find those today that has alternative lifestyle, we have those today that try to discredit our Christian faith. But let me tell you, our forefathers build upon that Christian faith. And that's who we are today. And if we don't teach our children, folks, they won't be here tomorrow. Because let me say to you today, it's our responsibility to teach and to lead in giving of our mission offering. So today I've chosen John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 5 through 14. When Jesus had lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude, or a great company, came unto him and said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove himself, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That's even one of them may take a little. One of the disciples also, Andrew, Simon Peter, and his brother said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But when they had, what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make it to the men sitting down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers of 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and disciples to them that were sitting down. Likewise also the fish, much as they would, they were filled, disciples unto him, and gathered all the fragments, and remained that nothing was lost. Therefore he gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. These men, when they had seen this miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a true prophet that would come to the world. Now, this is also in the 4 Gospels. And I don't want to go into a lot of our time with that. But first of all, in Matthew's Gospel, it's the same account, 36 or 38. Now, Matthew says they were 7 loaves and fishes, more than one, only 4,000. Mark, in chapter 6, verse 39, it said that Jesus had them to set in companies of 50. Now, when they travel for security. Remember, these people had to walk. And they traveled in the companies of 50 for protection. And he said there's 7 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 people. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 12 and 18, 5 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 men. Now here in John, we have 5 loaves, 2 barley, 5 loaves of barley, and 2 fish. And he includes the lad, 5,000, 2 pennies worth. That's about 1 penny is 1 day's work for a common laborer during that time. So he had 200 pennies, then you would say that they had 7 months of wages to buy bread. But we know that he said that it's not enough. Now, one thing I want you to notice here, first of all, is they wasn't willing to give what they had. They had only enough for themselves. But this is sure we find here in John, the disciples said, listen, hey, there's a lad here. He's got so many loaves and so many fish. You know, we're already willing to give what somebody else's stuff, don't we? But you know what we're doing? We're cheating herself out of the blessing. So first of all, this morning, I want us to look. Little is much in the hands of Jesus. First, I want you to notice the miracle. First, let me say this. All 4 accounts is the same story. A lot of people get disturbed when they look at certain things in a different way. Let me share with you. The true gospel is Mark. Mark was the first gospel. Matthew took a part of Mark and he added his experience and so on down the line. But regardless, Matthew gave his account the way he's seen it. Mark, the way he's seen it. Luke, the way he's seen it. And here, John, the way he's seen it. It's the same story. It's just a view. You ever watch them on television and want to get up and say this and another get it? It would be totally different a little bit. It is the Word of God and it's correct, folks. Because it's all the same message. So let us look first of all at the multitude. Now they had followed Jesus, and Jesus had healed them. Now his disciples were with him. And Jesus went out and healed these people. You see, the fact is, God wants to heal our hearts. And then we notice that God not only healed them, but Jesus said, there's so many. Where can they buy bread? Something to eat. You see, the multitude, he's concerned not only about healing us, but he's concerned about our total being, folks. If Jesus went around and healed everybody, they'd die. They'd die with something. But God is concerned not only with healing us, God is concerned all about us. Our food is life's sustaining power. And Jesus took this opportunity and said, look, these people, are we going to just let them die? I've healed them, now we're going to let them die because of your unselfish giving? And many times people are waiting for that miracle in the hands of the people that are missionaries and through our women's group and through our churches. You see, the fact is, he fed the multitude. Second thing I want you to notice is the disciples. This is who we are most of the time. The disciples said, send them away. That ain't my responsibility. Folks, I've heard that many times in big churches, and they'll say to me, well, you know, sign up for the nursery. Oh, no, I done raised my children, let somebody else do it. But you know what? I'd keep the nursery. They'd preach for me. You know why? Because that's a great opportunity. Not only to take care of those children, but let those young couples stay out here and hear the gospel preaching to know Jesus as their personal Savior. It's a mission. It's something we all can do. You see the fact the disciples want to say, send them away. We don't want to fool with them. Then he went on to try to defend himself. He said, look, we just got enough for ourselves. I can tell you, folks, personally, God is so great. You can't outgive God, folks. I can tell you something. Even with our sickness and other things that happened over the years, God, it just seemed like he just filled the basket full. It's not because somebody else gave it, neither. Because God gave it. And I can stand, and I and I both can stand today and tell you, you can't outgive God. But it's not only in gifts, folks, it's our talent. That's the reason I encourage these younger ones. But some of you have talents. You know, church is not just sitting and listening. It's to be involved. Using the talent that God has given us and use it faithfully and committed to the cause of Christ. Many times we just won't sit back. I can't do nothing. You know, the first opportunity I had as a young man was to teach a Sunday school class. Well, I thought that was kind of special, me being young. Come to find out, nobody would teach it. And after I got in there, I found out. But you know, later on, we won the award for the ones most faithful attending. And I believe with all my heart, if I'd have said no to that, I wouldn't be here today in the pulpit, folks. You know, sometimes we look at superstars. There's no superstar. Ain't nothing super in me. I'm a poor sinner saved by the grace of God, being obedient to him. And that's the same we are as Christians, as church members. Let me say, our church, as many people living around it, could run over. Could run over. I had a young couple come in yesterday. They moved to Lockhart. And after I sold them something, I talked to them about coming to church. She even said that she came to church when she was younger. I said, well, it's time to come back. It's just stronger today than it's ever been. We have opportunities, folks. But sometimes we don't want to pray we're not going to be politically correct. Or we might be criticized. No, let me tell you something. These disciples made all kind of excuses. There are people today that said, I love Jesus, I am committed to Christ, but they make all excuses in the world rather than being faithful and serving Him. Think about all the people that are on Wilkesboro Church Road. We could run the place over just for that. But we got to be not selfish. It's not about me and my four. It's about God's people, God's children. We never know. That one we will reach and bring into this church that we'll see walk down this aisle may be the next greatest missionary this world's ever known. Don't say it won't happen, because, folks, I've told you, I've seen them come. I've put them up there, and I've seen these young CEOs of drug companies over major hospitals, and let me say, lawyers, and going on throughout all this, because you know what? Their parents brought them to church faithfully and taught them God's way of life. They could be I'm successful, I don't need that. The one that made a lawyer, her mother was over the hospital system. Her dad was vice president of the one computer system that built the computers for the IBM. But they were two of the most faithful people in the church. You see, the fact is, we're willing to accept so little when God's got so much for us. In 2 Chronicles there, it says, what did it say? If my people, which are called by my name, and humble themselves and pray and turn from their sin and evil ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land and forgive their sins. And I'll open the doors of heaven and pour out more blessings than you could ever attain. Folks, it's there. God ain't got to try to figure out how to do it. It's already there. And it's as much as we want. But it depends upon us, our faithfulness, our willingness to be committed and to say, what can I do to make the church stronger? Not just a few. Everybody. You see, the fact is, we are only strong as our members are strong. I believe God's got great things for you. I really believe that. Not because I'm here, because I may be a hindered of it. But at least I know God's got great things for Wilkesboro Baptist Church. Now I want you to know, in John's Gospel, it recognized the lad. And that's what it said, the disciples, oh, we just got enough for ourselves, but hey, Jesus, here's a little boy. He's got a common lunch. They're hunting excuses, folks. They're willing to give somebody that had a little when they had more than that. And the little boy, they never recognized his name. And all the scripture and all the background and all the study you can find, you cannot find the name of this little boy. You notice I told you there in Luke's gospel, he said 500 men. And I tell you, ladies, you ought to be glad for the Christian of the Gentiles coming to Christ, because you know what? They didn't recognize women. They didn't even count women. They didn't even count children. They only recognized men. But thanks God that women today are flocking to Jesus Christ, and they ought to. The lad had 5 barley loaves. Now the others didn't tell what kind of loaves they were, but he had 5 barley loaves. And 2 small fish. That was a common lunch for a person that day. So they didn't have restaurants. They didn't have all these big fancy places you could drive into and eat. They'd take what they had with them. And his mother had prepared him when he took this journey a lunch to eat till he got back home. And what did they do? They took it. He took it and took his little lunch, and I can see it now, just hand it to Jesus. So willing, so innocent. He gave it to Jesus. Then I want you to notice what Jesus did. He blessed it. He lifted it up, and he blessed the loaf, and he blessed the fish. Everybody eat to their well filled. And he said, oh, take all the left of the fragments up. Had 12 baskets full. Now, you know what a lot of people say, a lot of writers and scholars say, he had one for each disciple because of their lack of belief and the lack of faith in him. They had a basket to carry with them. A miracle. A miracle that was done in front of these doubting, selfish disciples. And notice what it says there. It says, and those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a true that prophet that should come to the world today. Folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, we have very little. But it's much when we put it in the hands of Jesus. I've heard people many times, Christian, they complain, I don't do this, I don't have it. Let me tell you something. Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you truly trusting him? Or are you like that little black preacher that was liked to retire and sit on the porch and he rocked and he liked to sit in the sunshine. But there's a big old mountain in front of him. He'd go in and he'd get down and he'd pray and he said, he'd run back out there and the mountain was still there. He said, I didn't think you were going to do it anyway. We had a lady with down to her last piece of bread. She was praying to the Holy God. These two winos came by and they heard her. And they said they were going to fool her. He went down to the store and bought her a loaf of bread and busted a window and threw it to her. She didn't even stop. She says, Lord, I want you to thank you for the bread that you gave me, even though you brought the devil to bring it. God does miracles, folks. He wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do miracles in this church. Welfare is not in the word of vocabulary of God. Did you know that? Do you know what we do? We are willing to receive so little when God's got so much to give us. You see, this morning, we can put the offering into this plate. Their goal is 700. That may sound like a lot. It ain't a lot. If everybody do their part, we can go over that goal. And let me tell you, I've been to these missionary when they actually point them to go on the mission field. And I was out in Houston one time, they had a big thing, and I'll tell you what, the power of God was so great, I didn't think I could just stand still, folks. The excitement of what God was doing to these couples that had given their lives, given their home, and given their friends to take the message to somebody they didn't even know. They've been blessed over and over. And you see this morning, well, I just got a little bit. But we can see today what a little bit will do when we put it in the hands of Jesus. How many of us here today? Some people say, well, you know, I don't know. I've never really been saved, but I just go to church and do it. Let me tell you something. God don't hear your prayers. If you're lost, there ain't but one prayer you can pray, and that's, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. How are you going to receive the blessings of the children of God when you're not even a child? That's not being harsh. That's true, folks. So many times you've heard me say this many times. We invite people to just come in, be one of us. No, we don't want them to be one of us. We want them to be like Him, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you see, the fact is to be committed. Be a member of the church. Not only put a name on the roll and go through the baptism, but be committed, be faithful to the church of God. That's where the blessings are at. God loves you today. God wants to do a miracle in your life today. Would you come? If you're not been saved, would you come and accept Christ as your Savior? Nobody's going to embarrass you. They'll give you that opportunity. That's the most wonderful feeling you can ever feel. All you need to do is pray, and I'll ask you to pray together, not loud, to each other. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. I need you to save me today. That's all you need to say. If you're here today, you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. You can't serve God if you ain't a part of it. And I told you before, I wanted to be an evangelist. When I went to school, I found out every preacher started out wanting to be an evangelist. My first full-time church, I may have told you this, Diane said I tell it over and over, but I told the church by, and I went around to the older people and visited them last time. The lady comes, and she was my Sunday school teacher. That's what she said to me. Preacher, I ain't doubting God, but I don't know where you're hearing right or not. She said, I don't believe God is going to, you're a pastor and a preacher you are and an encourager in the congregation, that God's going to put you up just preaching in front of people when God's people needs a shepherd. You know, that made me think about that. Maybe I was trying to be what I wanted to be. But I can tell you why. God has blessed us over the years. And God wants to bless you today. Let me tell you something. There's ups and downs. But I can tell you what. The Bible says whatever the devil takes away from you, God will give it back twofold. God wants to bless you today. He wants to bless you and your family. How I can see young people today, they don't make them go to church. They're not faithful in the church. Then they get up and they go to college. They listen to all these liberals. Next thing you know, they're trying these alternative lifestyle. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's of the devil. It's not in this book. And yet they go out and they do all these other things. And they think about, oh, you don't need to go to church. No wonder they want to join all these foreign Eastern religions ringing in here. All you got to do is kneel on that rug and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. The only way to heaven through Jesus Christ. That's what He says. That's universal. No man shall go to the Father but by me, Jesus. And I don't care how educated people become. They're ignorant if they don't know that's the only way to heaven, folks. That's not a Baptist way. That's God's way. I believe the Baptist